Has the world gone crazy? The answer is yes, because in the middle of a global pandemic, crime is running rampant. Even more disturbing, many of those crimes are COVID-related. Everything from the wealthy trying to jump the line to get the vaccine, calling their concierge doctors for preferential treatment, to flat out murder, domestic violence, children being beaten and worse because of COVID. You've got people dressing up like little old ladies to get in line to get the shot first. What is happening? Why is it happening? And how do we stop it? Again, thank you for being with us here at Crime Stories with me, an all-star panel. But first, take a listen to our friend Amanda Roberts at Fox 8.
Originally from Detroit, Tulane Police Corporal Martinez Mitchum made New Orleans his home. He had a long history of working as a law enforcement officer for various educational institutions. Mitchum worked with the Loyola Police Department. He worked with several New Orleans area high schools. Most recently, the Tulane Police Department honoring his service to their department for 4 years.
And now he's dead. I'm not sure I've got this right, and I hope somebody can correct me. Did a 38-year-old Louisiana police officer in the prime of his life get gunned down dead at a high school basketball game by a guy who refused to mask up? And so now the officer is dead over a face mask? With me, an all-star panel, former prosecutor, now veteran defense attorney in multiple jurisdictions, Daryl Cohen joining me, named partner with Cohen, Cooper, Estep, and Allen, renowned psychiatrist joining me out of the Atlanta jurisdiction, Dr. Angela Arnold. You can find her at angelaarnoldmd.com. Professor of Forensics, Jacksonville State University, author of Blood Beneath My Feet on Amazon, and star of a brand new program on the True Crime Network, Poisonous Liaisons, Joseph Scott Morgan, death investigator, deputy medical examiner out of Travis County, that's Austin, joining me, Dr. Kendall Crowns. But right now, to an Emmy Award-winning investigative reporter and president of Successful Strategies PR and Crisis Communications, Christy Mazurek. Christy, thank you for being with us, and thank you to the rest of our guests. Christy, tell me what happened to Officer Mitchum, Sergeant Mitchum. What happened?
Absolutely shocking story, as you mentioned. I mean, he was giving back to his community, just serving a security detail at an area high school. There was a basketball game going on when he was gunned down. It was a shock to everybody around.
I'm seeing conflicting reports, Christy, as to whether he was a corporal or a sergeant. Martinez Mitchum of Tulane University PD shot dead by some nut who wouldn't wear a mask. Take a listen to Amanda Roberts at Fox 8.
The night of the shooting, NOPD Chief Superintendent John Ferguson gave his condolences to all who knew him. Ferguson described how that night, Mitchum was protecting young people and their families watching a basketball game inside the George Washington Carver High School. The NOPD says the shooter tried to enter the game without a mask and got into a fight with another school employee when Mitchum intervened before he was fatally shot.
As a result of him intervening and attempting to escort this individual out of the school, which is right at the door of the front door of this school or this building, this individual pulled his weapon out and fired a shot that struck the officer in his chest.
That night, NOPD arrested John Schallerhorn on 2 charges. NOPD says Schallerhorn not only put the weapon on the ground after firing the 2 shots, allowing officers to arrest him, but they also charged him with armed robbery at the high school. They say at some point in the night, he threatened a man sitting in his car with a gun and stole the man's medallion chain.
So I guess Officer Mitchum's police instincts kicked in. He sees this guy without a mask, tries to stop him or make him put on a mask. He refuses, tries to escort him out, and the guy turns around and shoots him dead in the chest. Straight back to Christy Mazurek joining us. Christy.
Nancy, there's a backstory here also.
Go ahead.
That wasn't the gunman's first confrontation with cops that day. Hours before Officer Mitchum's killing, this shooter was kicked out of a local casino for not wearing a mask. And police officers on that scene were wearing body cameras and recorded John Shalahorn's anti-mask rants, saying the casino's mask mandate was discrimination. Those cops escort him out of the casino and cite him. Then he makes his way over to this area high school, and of course this tragedy occurs. Now his defense attorney says, hold on, pump the brakes. This isn't an anti-mask mandate situation. His attorney is saying, my client has a history of mental illness.
Okay, so let me understand this. So he's mentally ill. Joe Scott Morgan, joining me, forensics expert, according to his defense attorney, but he gets kicked out of a casino for not wearing a mask, and then he goes to another public gathering not wearing a mask. He has the wherewithal to steal a medallion at gunpoint off a guy sitting alone in his car. He knows darn well what he did and that he's supposed to wear a mask. You go in a room, everybody's wearing a mask but you. How important is it, Joe Scott Morgan, that we wear masks?
Well, right now, relative to the mandate that we have, it is essential. Particularly, you know, he's trying to get into an auditorium, Nancy, with a bunch of kids and their parents who are just trying to peacefully watch this basketball game. And here he is creating a ruckus at the door because he's trying to flee an armed robbery that he has just committed. And, you know, the police officer sees this. So not only is he confronted with the obstacle of the police officer in his way, he knows that sooner or later they're going to find out about this. The police officer just sees this guy as in violation of public health. But right now, it's gotten to a critical mass. He winds up killing this cop because of this.
You know, to you, Dr. Kendall Crowns, Deputy Medical Examiner, Travis County, Texas, that's Austin. Dr. Crowns, I contracted COVID, coronavirus, and I know how I got it. I got it from my mom through one of her care workers. I know exactly how I got it. And then I gave it to the rest of my family, all through being breathed and coughed on by my mom. That's exactly what happened. Dr. Crowns, just how important is it that we wear masks? And think of this packed gymnasium at this high school, at this basketball game.
Well, the importance of wearing a mask, it's to not just protect you, but to protect the others surrounding you. And it's, you know, they have shown that by wearing a mask, you can cut down on your chance of getting the coronavirus from an individual who has it significantly. Even with the cloth masks that are handed out, it is helpful to have it on. And especially in a crowded gymnasium, you know, with a lot of people in the building, it's better to have it on than to not have it on. Anyone walking in there without a mask on is, let's say if they had coronavirus, is potentially exposing all those people in that facility. So masks are very important to stop the spread.
You're right. Every single one of them. And now this officer is dead, but that's just the tip of it. Take a listen to what happened with a Connecticut lawyer and his COVID-19 positive wife. This is Matt Carson, Fox 61.
A well-known couple, John and Cindy LaCoury, lived here in Suffield.
Pretty established here, by all accounts, great people.
59-year-old John, a family attorney. His wife, 55-year-old Cindy, a business owner. A sign on the door of her business reads, closed due to a family emergency. Christmas Day, 6 p.m. Cindy is here at 33 Dale Street in Windsor Locks. It's her mother's house. She's taking care of the dogs because her mother is in the hospital battling COVID. John arrives.
We're not sure what ensued between them, but evidence is leading us to believe that he then shot her and then himself.
It happened on the bed in the bedroom with a revolver. Prior to the shooting, John called Cindy's brother and told him what he was about to do. The brother rushed to the home, found the bodies, and called 911.
We do not believe he is involved, no.
In addition to Cindy's mother, it's believed Cindy herself and possibly her husband John were also dealing with a diagnosis of COVID.
So to you, Christy Mazurek, investigative reporter joining us, the wife's mother has COVID, the wife has contracted COVID and apparently gives it to her husband, the Connecticut lawyer, and he kills her.
Right. You know, and here's the tragic irony. The wife's business made face masks and hand sanitizer. That's the type of business she was in. So the backstory here with this attorney, he was talking to a colleague just hours before this occurred. And the attorney claimed, you know, he seemed upset on the phone calls. He was anxious, talking about the mother-in-law being sick, talking about his wife being sick. But at no time did he feel that John would open fire on his wife.
So the mom gets it, gives it to the daughter.
Yep.
She gives it to him.
Yes.
Long story short, he shoots her dead. That's the tip of the iceberg of COVID crimes happening now. Take a listen to our friends at 12 News Arizona.
Saturday evening, Wickenburg police say Sarah Michelle Boone hurt her kids. The three children had all tested positive for the coronavirus, and police say their mother hit one, kicked another, and picked the third up by their neck because they weren't wearing masks. Wickenburg police say the kids range from 5 to 14 years old and did not need to go to the hospital after the incident. Boone police say was intoxicated and ran away from officers. She was caught and is now facing child abuse and assault charges, among others.
So mommy gets drunk and starts beating the children because they have COVID and or were not wearing their face mask. The world has turned upside down during the COVID pandemic, including right here in our country. Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. We are talking about, as they are called, COVID crimes. Take a listen to this.
Orange County's top health officer says the two wannabe grannies pulled off their disguise and successfully got the first dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. We have learned one of the women is in her 30s, the other is in her 40s. But the act was over just moments before they attempted to get their second dose, despite their convincing outfits.
So yesterday, we realized a couple of young ladies came dressed up as grannies to get vaccinated for the second time.
Donning a convincing disguise, complete with gloves, glasses, and even a bonnet, Dr. Raul Pino says when the two women returned to the convention center for their final shot in the arm, suspicions arose.
They had a valid CDC card with vaccination.
Orange County Sheriff deputies arriving here at the convention center after they say vaccinators realized the pair fraudulently registered for an appointment with birthdates that didn't match.
So I don't know how they escaped the first time.
The sheriff's office identifying the women as Olga Monroy Ramirez and Martha Vivian Monroy and issuing a trespassing warning.
Two young, healthy women, aged 34 and 44, busted for dressing up like LOLs, the low ladies, grannies, to get the COVID vaccine earlier. And I noticed a couple of Snickers in here in the studio. Guess what? My 89-year-old mother has not been able to get the vaccine yet. Nor have I, nor my husband, nor many other people that I know. So it's really not that funny to me. You know, Dr. Angela Arnold, why is that a laughing matter that these two women, young and healthy, dress up as grannies and end up cutting a real granny out of the line to get the COVID vaccine? Why is that funny to you, Jackie? I don't get it.
I don't think anybody would think that that was
funny. I thought my mom was going to die in the COVID ward. She was in the hospital 2 full weeks. She turned 89 in the hospital. I thought I and my children would never see her alive again. We couldn't get in to see her. And now I hear about these two liars dressing up in a costume to cut the line?
Well, it may be funny to them because apparently they haven't had COVID and they don't know how scary it is to have COVID because you don't know what's going to happen to you. And apparently they don't know anyone who has suffered from this.
You know, I'm just thinking about these two. The women show up at the Orlando Convention Center carrying CDC cards confirming they had their first dose, had already cheated to get their first dose, wearing a disguise. The police were called and body cam footage shows one officer berating them and saying, "You're lucky you're not being arrested." You know, I don't get it. Daryl Cohen, why aren't they arrested?
They should have been arrested, Nancy. And better than that, they should have been sentenced as part of their probation to go and work in a COVID ward and see what is happening and see why.
I couldn't even get in to see my own mother. They're not going to send these two fraudsters in to work in a COVID ward.
Well, they can send them outside the COVID ward. They can make sure that they are there and they see the bad, not the good.
Yeah, I'm looking at you. Okay, in her defense, I'll make a cameo appearance as a defense lawyer just this once. Jackie did have COVID, and I think I may know who gave it to her, but I'm taking the fifth on that. Dressing up as a granny to cut the line so real grannies and grandpas couldn't get their COVID shot. Well, they're not the only ones. Take a listen to this. Everybody, that was Nikki Zizaza with ClickOrlando.com. Now take a listen to our friends at Inside Edition.
A SoulCycle trainer is under fire today for allegedly jumping the line for the COVID vaccine. Stacy Griffith bragged about getting the vaccine on Instagram. Vaccine day, step one of the Moderna magic, she posted. But she's just 52 years old, 13 years younger than the 65-year-old eligibility. So how'd she do it? She claimed to be an educator, putting her to the front of the COVID line.
Stacy is the SoulCycle legend.
Griffith, who's appeared as a SoulCycle master instructor on network TV, apologized today, saying, "I made a terrible error in judgment, and for that, I am truly sorry." New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio said he's really upset.
I don't think someone who shows up and says, "Hey, I'm a SoulCycle instructor," should have qualified unless there's some other factor there. And that should have been caught in the application process.
This is a woman. Let me go to you, Chrissy Mazurek. If I'm thinking about the right woman, Stacy Griffith, let me pull up her picture. Oh, yeah, that's her. She's like,
she's in great shape.
So in shape. She's beautiful. She's wealthy. She's educated. Yeah. She's privileged. So she still had to cut the line with all that going for her. She couldn't wait her turn.
And knew enough, Nancy, to be sneaky to drive an hour to Staten Island.
Oh, wait a minute. Whoa. Wait a minute. Chrissy Mazurek, you're telling me something I didn't know.
Oh, yeah.
Say that again. I'm going to circle back with Cohen on why this is significant.
Oh, yeah. She filled out the paperwork fraudulently and then went to a vaccine facility an hour away in Staten Island. So she knew people would recognize her if she went in her own neighborhood.
You know, Daryl Cohen, you know why that's so important? What Chrissy Mazurek just told us, it shows planning aforethought, scheming. You know, the other day, Daryl, I couldn't get my mom in anywhere around her, even at her advanced age. Everything. In fact, a lady called us on the phone and went, hey, I think I've got a spot for your mom. And as I'm talking to her, the spot got taken.
Nancy.
You know, it just was so. And then, Daryl, I got her an appointment for the shot. It was going to be a 2-hour drive. And I was going to go ahead and drive the 2 hours to get my mom the shot the night before she got sick, and we didn't feel like she should take the COVID shot feeling sick. And I was just so upset about it. And now I hear about this SoulCycle millionaire, Stacy Griffith, driving, not to just get the shot because that's the only one she could get, but because she would be recognized in her neighborhood, says Chrissy Mazurek. And I think Chrissy's right.
Well, perhaps she should have gone to Coney Island where she belongs. But what she showed was absolutely...
I'd like to join in on the laughter. I get the jokes, but, you know, my mom almost died. I gave this to my children.
I have an uncle who died from it.
I just went to a memorial service yesterday for a family relative that passed away with COVID. And just to think, you're so entitled with all the money and all the fame, Daryl, that you can just do anything. And she did get away with it.
Well, you see, Nancy, it's no big deal until you know someone, until you have someone that's close to you that dies or almost dies. It becomes funny. I'm going to jump the line. Well, the people who jump the line need to go ahead and be pushed in the back of the line and maybe subjected to people who have COVID both visually and physically, and to see just how bad it is for some. Fortunately for me, it's not. But this is
she's
outrageous.
Got plenty of other potatoes in the stew with her. Take a listen to what this millionaire couple did. Here's Tanya Fletcher with CBC News.
This is the couple at the center of it all. Rodney Baker, now former CEO of the Great Canadian Gaming Corporation, and Ekaterina Baker, a Russian-born actress. It's believed the pair flew from Vancouver to Whitehorse on January 19th. 2 days later, skipping the mandatory 14-day quarantine, the Bakers chartered a flight nearly 500 kilometers away to Beaver Creek, Canada's westernmost community near the Alaska border. That's where they allegedly lined up outside one of these mobile vaccination clinics, posing as workers of the local motel. Staff who actually work at the motel are incensed. But the biggest red flag came after the two were immunized.
But then as they were leaving, they said, could they get a lift to the airport?
And after that, officials were tipped off. Copies of the tickets show they were charged with two counts each of failing to self-isolate and failing to follow a declaration.
So basically, they got a ticket. Let me just break that down. Millionaire couple takes a flight, then a charter flight, to then dress up as motel workers to get the vaccine. Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. Guys, we are talking about, as they're commonly referred to, as COVID crimes. From outright murders to beating children with COVID that don't wear their face mask and infecting mommy, to people pulling off all sorts of disguises and charter flights and long drives in order to cut the line. That's really the tip of the iceberg. Now, I love this guy, but I don't love what he said. Take a listen to Charles Barkley of the NBA.
In front of the line. We need 300 million shots. Giving 1,000 to some NBA players.
What about NFL?
NFL, I'm just going to raise it. NFL players, hockey players. Listen, as much taxes as these players pay, let me repeat that. As much taxes as these players pay, they deserve some preferential treatment.
For life and death?
Yes.
The amount of money you make.
I said taxes.
Well, that's better. Taxes. That's
I'm saying the
taxes.
Amount of taxes these guys pay.
We can't go there. No. I don't think you could go there.
He already went there. It's too late. That cow's out of the barn. The cat is out of the bag. The ship has sailed. It's over. Barkley said it. I pay more taxes, says Barkley. So he thinks he and others like him should get the COVID vaccine. Somebody needs a little tutorial in constitutional law and what our government is all about equal protection under the law, regardless of your paycheck or your tax bracket. What? He should get the vaccine before my mother or my children or the makeup guy or the intern or Jackie? Why? Why is that okay? But somehow, nobody called him out on it. I am. Barkley, you're wrong. And what you said not only was wrong, but it's against everything our country is supposed to stand for. But somehow, COVID has turned that all upside down. The people in the highest tax bracket should get the shot first. Specifically, athletes like him. Okay, he's not the only one. I can't blame just Charles Barkley.
Take a listen to this.
It's up to individual states to determine who gets the vaccine and when. The frustration comes amid reports some wealthy Americans are trying to get vaccinated before they are eligible, and in some cases may have been successful. A state and federal investigation is underway after Morse Life Health System in West Palm Beach, Florida, was accused of giving vaccines to its rich donors who do not live at its assisted living facility. It was reportedly organized by two New York real estate moguls on the board of directors.
You have basically given the vaccine to hundreds and hundreds of different private providers, and you're trusting that they're going to do the right thing.
State Representative Omari Hardy oversees the district where Morse Life Health is located.
It just goes to show that there's been one pandemic for the rich and there's been another pandemic for the rest of us who are not rich and well-connected.
You are hearing our friend Manuel Borges at CBS to you, Christy Mazurek, joining us, investigative reporter and President Successful Strategies PR and Crisis Communications. Christy, what happened? Tell me, what is Morse Life Health System, and who are they accused of giving the vaccine to, I guess, what, before the senior citizens in the rest home?
That's correct. That's correct. And this guy, the owner of this health system, you know, has come under fire in the past also. So the New York State Attorney General is looking into this person. But he peeled away vaccines, simply put, for his family members, friends, the board of directors that was mentioned, his donors that subsidized different programs at the clinic. And to be honest with you, even people that are eligible for the shot, Nancy, they're coming under fire just in the court of public opinion. O.J. Simpson posted pictures of himself getting a shot, and the public was outraged. Here in the state of New York, our governor is coming under a lot of criticism for a lot of things, but most importantly, he was called out for being out and about, for not wearing masks, for ridiculing his brother, who's a news anchor, for not wearing a mask and getting COVID and potentially passing it on to family members. And then he was forced to cancel holiday plans with his kids when the public found out the girls were planning to travel in to see him out of the state of New York and not doing his mandated quarantine. So this is happening everywhere.
So I guess the rule now to you, Joe Scott Morgan, is that the rich go first. Outrage is building as real estate moguls Bill and David S. Mack arranged for mega-rich New York friends to get their vaccine at their Florida rehab center, while elderly locals either don't get it or have to camp outside at night in a line in the hope that they get it. Can you imagine my mother? She can barely walk. Camping out in a tent on the sidewalk overnight at the chance of getting the COVID vaccine, while these two, Bill and David S. Mack, real estate moguls in New York, arrange for all their wealthy friends to get the vaccine at the Florida rehab center they own. How would that even work, Joe Scott?
It's hard to know, Nancy. And I think that it all comes down to this idea of privilege, and they're manipulating the system in accordance to what they perceive their needs to be. And also, they're bringing their friends along with it. And it goes to a bigger issue for me, because I begin to hear stories like this, and I think about maybe pursuing an investigation into outright fraud in this particular case.
You know, I'm just trying to figure out, how does it work? Let's go to the doctor. Dr. Kendall Crowns joining us, Deputy Medical Examiner, Travis County, Texas, Austin. Dr. Crowns, how do you just present a wealthy friend in the COVID vaccine line and somehow get the vaccine?
You know, Nancy, I have no idea how you could pull that off and how the healthcare people that are providing the vaccine would allow that to happen. That's just shocking to me. I mean, I had to prove who I was. I had to bring paperwork from the county health department and show up and wait in line to get my vaccine with the other healthcare professionals that were getting them that day. But other than that, I don't know how you could do that even with a good conscience to deny other people the vaccine that truly need it right away.
You know, I put my name in, and I put my mom, my husband. We still haven't gotten the vaccine. And when I think of these guys sitting up in New York City in their high rise, arranging for themselves and all their rich friends to go cut the line in front of a bunch of elderly citizens in Florida, and they actually do it? I don't understand, Daryl Cohen, how that cannot be a crime.
It may be not a crime as far as the penal system is concerned, but it is clearly outrageous, and it's a crime against humanity.
That's what I'm saying. I don't understand how it's not a crime, of a fraud of some sort, because you're filling out documents that you fit into these criteria and yet you don't. That's a lie. That's like lying to a cop on a police report, which is a sworn document. But you know what? Those two, Mac and his brother, are not the only two. Take a listen to what's going on again down in Florida. This is Tariq Minor and Mike Vasalinda.
The governor is pushing back against claims his political action committee, Friends of Ron DeSantis, received a large donation after vaccines were made available to a wealthy community in the Keys. As Mike Vasalinda tells us, Florida's lone statewide elected Democrat wants the FBI to investigate the allegations.
In late January, the wealthy Ocean Reef community in Key Largo was offered shots by Baptist Hospital. A month later, Bruce Rauner, a former Illinois governor and Ocean Reef resident, sent the governor's political action committee, Friends of Ron DeSantis, a $250,000 check. The governor Thursday said his office had nothing to do with setting up the site.
In the initial few 3 or 4 weeks, as you remember, the hospitals were getting the lion's share of the vaccine.
But he added he was glad the hospital stepped up.
If you're 65 and up, I'm not worried about your income bracket. I'm worried about your age bracket.
Hours later, Agriculture Commissioner Nikki Fried called on the FBI to investigate.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. Straight back to Christy Mazurek, Emmy Award-winning investigative reporter. What can you tell me about three Baltimore men facing federal charges for purporting to sell COVID vaccines?
As always, Nancy, there are vultures who prey on people during troubling times. And as you mentioned, they are just the tip of the iceberg. So they created a fictitious website reporting that, hey, reach out to us, contact us. And pitched out to people, you can buy your own vaccine ahead of time. Just put down a little deposit with us, and we'll get it right off to you. We have a guy up in upstate New York, Buffalo, New York, who did the same thing on Facebook. That's how the feds are catching these guys, Nancy. They're so pompous and arrogant with their schemes that they're doing it on social media, and people are so desperate to prevent death from occurring, that they're struggling to survive and they're getting caught and ensnared in these schemes.
You know, when I was laying there with COVID and could not even get up to take care of the children, I wondered, the thought went through my mind, what if I end up in the hospital being intubated? What if my husband, David, dies? Who's going to take care of our children? What's going to happen to them? And now I'm reading about three Baltimore guys who tried to sell fake COVID vaccines online just to get a hold of people's credit cards. I mean, to Dr. Angela Arnold, you're the psychiatrist. I'm just a JD. You know, I'm just a trial lawyer. But who would do that? Who would take advantage of people in their fear like this with a fake vaccine just to get a hold of credit card numbers?
Well, Nancy, this is a crime of opportunity, isn't it? The hysteria over this is so high, and it has become so high, and people are waiting, and they don't want to be like you, laying in the bed, wondering if they're going to survive this or not. And you know what else? The people, I'm sorry to say it, people that have money can make these things happen, but it's the hysteria that causes this crime of opportunity, doesn't it? And we see it in all different things, but I think that we're all particularly disgusted with this because this pandemic knows no limits. It knows no bounds.
Hey, guess what else they did, Dr. Angie? Listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what else they did? The site that they built features logos and designs similar to Moderna's real site.
Yeah.
And as Christy Mazurek was saying, it has a link for people to, quote, buy the vaccine ahead of time. And they created a fake domain site. It was ModernaTX, as in tax, .shop. So, you know, I've gotten on an email before. It looked just like an American Express bill, the same logo, the same colors, the same everything. It was a scam. And as soon as you punch it, it's a malware. It attacks your computer or your iPad, so somehow they get all your information. But again, that's the tip of the iceberg. You got these three guys peddling fake Moderna vaccines and getting your credit card. Take a listen to what happened in Missouri.
A federal grand jury has indicted this Missouri state legislature on fraud charges. Prosecutors say Representative Trisha Durgis falsely promoted a treatment she was selling at medical clinics as containing stem cells that could treat various diseases, including COVID-19. The indictment also accuses the Nixa Republican of illegally providing prescription drugs to clients. Her attorney says she's presumed innocent.
Dr. Kendall Crowns, deputy medical examiner, joining me out of Travis County, Austin, Texas. When they say that the grand jury indicted a Missouri state legislature member on fraud charges, claiming there was a vaccine made from stem cells, how would that even work?
So I'm not 100% sure how that would work, how you would make it from stem cells at all. I mean, that totally doesn't make sense because most vaccines are based off the actual virus or bacteria or whatever they're trying to prevent, not some sort of weird stem cell research. So that in itself just seems like complete fantasy land.
Yeah, see, you know that because you're a medical doctor. Dr. Angie knows that, Dr. Angela Arnold, because she's not only a medical doctor, but she's a psychiatrist as well. But the rest of the world doesn't know that. They may think that this is some new vaccine using stem cell research and innovative techniques and actually buy it and pay for it. You were hearing Ryan Dean, 5 on Your Side at KSDK, reporting on that. Of all people, a Missouri state legislator. What about that, Joe Scott Morgan?
Yeah, exactly. It's almost like if he understands, I think, what he's doing. If he can take, exotic sounding medical terminology like stem cell. I mean, how much have we heard about stem cell research over the years, for reparative purposes, like people with spinal cord injuries and this sort of thing. And then you take this and you apply it toward this virus, this horrible plague that we have upon us that's got everybody in a panic. They think, wow, this really sounds like it's loaded with solid science. Let's buy into this. And again, this goes back to this idea, this underpinning of fraud. And this guy's not a stupid person. He understands this. So that makes it all the more egregious, not to mention he's a public servant, allegedly.
Guys, we're talking about a Missouri state lawmaker indicted by a grand jury for selling fake stem cell COVID treatments and illegally prescribing oxycodone and Adderall. But you keep saying he? It's a woman. Do I have this right? Is State Representative Trisha Durgis from Nixa, Missouri? Do I have that right? I mean, you'd think I see all the pictures of her holding her dogs and her with a stethoscope as a doctor.
She looks like Florence Nightingale, Nancy.
She does. I'm looking right at her. Do I have the right person, Christy?
She has absolutely no guilt because as recently as last week, she's trying to solicit support for some of the bills that she has.
Okay, so it's not just these three guys in Baltimore. Now you've got a state lawmaker trying to take advantage of COVID fear. Well, okay, I hope you're sitting down. Take a listen to our longtime friend Jim Murray, Inside Edition.
And a surfer dude who claimed to have cooked up a COVID vaccine months before Pfizer or Moderna is facing federal charges. 55-year-old John Stein built a homemade lab in Seattle with equipment he bought on eBay.
Got one of these for a song. But that song was about $5,000.
Then he injected himself and 30 others with a vaccine, which feds call an untested, untried, and potentially unsafe substance, and charged up to $1,000 per injection. He denies wrongdoing.
Okay, Christy, I'm actually a little afraid to ask, but it goes from three guys in Baltimore to a state lawmaker in Missouri. Now I've got a surfer dude in on the act. What happened?
Well, and he not only was promoting the fact that he had COVID-19 shots, he also has concocted some cancer vaccine. So he's far-reaching on this. This is someone who's in the bowels of society.
I guess the term snake oil salesman would be appropriate for this guy, Daryl Cohen.
Oh, I love snake oil. I mean, look. But, Nancy, there's another part to this. These people are scum. There's no question about it. But the public has got to pay attention to CDC. They've got to pay attention to Fox.
Don't you understand?
CNN.
People are desperate.
Yeah, but they're also gullible.
People are desperate for a cure.
No, I got it, Nancy.
They'll do anything. And this guy's actually injecting people. He didn't just advertise it. He injected people, launching his vaccine scheme in Seattle, Washington, back in March, posting online $400 to $1,000. And then he stupidly offered the jabs to undercover agents sent in by the FDA. Now, telling how many people he actually jabbed, Daryl.
Look, I don't say that he's a good guy. He's a terrible guy. But I also say that we as the American public have to pay a little bit more attention to the real news. Pay attention to CC.
Oh, please, Daryl, you CNN. With your law degree, yeah, maybe you can decipher that. But not everyone has the benefit of a four-year degree at a fancy school plus a law degree, Daryl. A lot of people out there don't understand what's happening, and they get these emails and these advertisements, and they believe it, and they're desperate. COVID crimes. It's sadly not over yet. Keep the faith, friend. Nancy Grace, Crime Story, signing off.